questions from the remarks on my part. I think this session is very well structured because we have a case of centralization problem local in Mali, the first presentation, which gives us an idea of the conflicts that can arise from water scarcity, competition and control. Also, you have some information in that first presentation about cultural aspects and the strong identification patterns within the stakeholders of this process. We have a second, for me, second will be from our colleague Judith Padilla with an aspect of regional aspects of our shared water resources and the water resources in general, with some aspect of hydro geopolitics inside. And the third, not so least, but the third, in my view, has a strong conceptual parameters that indicate that really we can sort out all water management system, see a global pattern that we can try to resolve using the concept of hydro political risk. I think this is interesting conceptual tools that can be used as a predictive maybe tools also as a tool to explain what happens and what can happen and why happen in this around this product that is already strong, has a strong political and conflictual meaning nowadays. Just to remind some conflict based on water use, for example, between Egypt and Ethiopia, and it's latent. And also, for example, in Israel and Syria, there's a very strong problem on the Golan Heights, which is handed from years and years, and is conditioning all the politics of the region. So now we can try to have some questions on these three presentations. We will try to answer them from the part of the presenters. Thank you. Questions?
The question is to José. What I cannot understand is why did the Portuguese government, like the successive governments, insisted to keep the ownership of the dam? If it was just a hole in the budget, if the Portuguese taxpayers were, to be honest, me researching about these issues, I didn't know that they still owned them. So just 3 years ago when we still have some share, we don't have the golden share anymore, but we still have some. So why this situation was kept for such a long time? In the economic terms and financial terms, it was not an advantage.
I also would like to address Professor Padilla. I think much of the presentation was very objective in terms of how the process developed. I have only one point in which I think that he said that the valuation of them was 2.2 billion or 1,000 million US dollars. But you know that the government of Mozambique always disputed that figure. In fact, the figure that the government of Mozambique was accepting was 1.4 billion. And I urge Mr. Miyama, in the Ministry of Industry, who has been in the Cash Shop Post, was the chairman of Cash Shop Post, and was involved very much in the negotiation process, tell that the figure of 1.4 was in fact my figure, and that 2.2 was in fact adding all the, let's say, the interest. Okay? And that was a problem of related to what Anna was asking, is why Portugal delayed for 30 years etc., sold multiple. Because if you look at $1.4 billion, then 67% of that impact was the change of part was transmitted from Portugal to Mozambique. Corresponds to $950 million at Mozambique.
Sorry, another one for the computer. You said at the end that you might expect that South Africa was a loser in this agreement, but there were several years of rumors during the negotiation years. There was a sort of an agreement between the Mozambican negotiators and the South Africans to try to prevent the privatization of the dam so that the Portuguese would be pressed to transfer the ownership to Mozambique, and Mozambique would then make a very profitable agreement with South Africa. I would like to comment on you on that issue.
The agreement was just reached after an agreement, a prior agreement between the Portuguese government and Brussels, trying to an accountant engineering, something like that, putting a deficit escaping from the consequences of that deficit. So that it was a problem also.
Let me just and it was not quick. When the 75 agreement was made, there was still big debts that the construction of the dam had implied, and that the new Mozambican state would not assume, so Portugal had to assume part of the debt, and that's why it kept the property of the dam.
Thank you. I have a question for you. Policy may, how would you say, the main access in conflict could have been mitigated if the actual modern state authorities have moved right or used some traditional control ways that were existing before the agreement. Because all these people, before these operations, before the existence of modern European backed or legally organized state, they had traditional societies somehow organized and they resolved this access and control problem. So I would like to know if you know something about these questions. To Agatha, as I said, it is an interesting conceptual tool, and I would like to know if it has already been used for predictive way, not just to look at a situation already existing. Try to explain what happened, but try to predict, for example, in foreseen projects, using this concept of tool, if it had been already and for Mr. Pavian, it's just on all this process of Barbarossa, I'm not aware of all the details, but I have some difficulties to understand the position of Portugal in relation with Mozambique. The situation was then, or a huge investment was made in a country that was at the time not independent. After, so it was made without the consent of the state that existed. And after the independence of new states, it is considered that it's a debt of the state that has not, that was not existing before. So I don't understand what was the political strength, how can the US state it, because consequently what we are without our consent, it didn't exist, and now part of that. I want to understand the all the intellectual system reach.
Thank you for asking that question. I think I don't know if I can take a short answer, but I think first of all it's important to recognize that the modern state is not very present in this area. I think because of the problems with the Tuareg rebellion, these questions of access to resources and the conditions of the northern regions is rather delicate, and maybe this is a reason why they refuse to touch upon this issue, but it's definitely something that I'll have to explore more in depth. Whether you making use of more traditional ways of conflict resolution, I think it's extremely difficult to unmake history. I think these different events of history and colonial legacy and all this is very much part of how do you say the historical and the imagination of people, And I don't know if it's possible to ignore or think beyond that. But it's very interesting to find out.
I moving it as a reason I do, but I'm also working on using it as a concrete way, especially working on it in Zimbabwe, with the situation, with the political situation getting more intense, and I will see if I can bring it with the concept. I'm still working on it, so.
In international economics, there is a difference between a government debt and a state debt. And you have that because, for instance, in Africa, if you have a government debt and then you have a coup d'etat, a revolution or something like that, the subsequent government could refuse to pay the previous debt. But if that debt is considered a state debt, then that debt will have to pay. No matter the government who is there. And this debt was a state debt. So, and Frelimo accepted that under the Lusaka agreement.
Let me just add more detail. But in fact, it didn't pay. Because who paid the debt? And especially the interest of the debt, because the main problem was not the debt, but the interest of the debt. It was the Portuguese government, because it was agreed that Frelimo, which had not planned the dam and which was not responsible for the dam, would not assume the debt. And that's why the plan was that Portugal would pay the debt and try to make money selling it forward. But as Professor Pavia said, the plan cracked because they could not sell the power. That was the main question.
No questions?
About the money? I have a question. In this problem of community and there is an overlapping also of water problems and community problems, is the water the base of the conflict for water, or water a pretext for the conflict? Water is hiding many other issues, and that water is just the pretext for the conflict.
I think it's a very important question, and one of the things that I'm trying to figure out next week is whether is the water just the presence of the water, this lake, does it just provide another excuse for Bart or discussing all this dispute that has been there for many years, or is it actually the fact that the water is there that is the reason for it? And I think it's somewhere in between. I think water is a very scarce resource and it's very valuable, and I think competing over it is important because it determines livelihoods. But I also think that the fact that there has been tensions in the region, and because there are these things on the line, I think this also makes it even more tense. So I think it's a conjuncture of these two things, the environmental change and also the historical context. Yeah.
I think that's one thing.
Okay. So I'd like to comment on that. I had a spell at the Peace Research Institute of Oslo, and we did a lot of work on that. And, we visited those two main schools. We have the School of Resource Curse, and basically you get a lot of variables, you quantify the geographical data, the how much water each sort of, you even have the location where you have like the map of Africa with 500 kilometers square by square, you have all this data and you calculate the probability of there being a conflict. And you have the other school, which is much more philosophical and historical and the political systems would get the track of conflict. And so at the end of the day, the conclusion, the main conclusion that me personally arrived to, but I mean, this is all disputed, was that the trigger for conflict is usually very much more linked to the historical and to the political reasons. And then the natural resources, either if you have Kimberley diamonds, or if you have alluvial diamonds, or if you have water in tricky places, then these are these natural sort of physical aspects will tend to either prolong the conflict more or make the probability of the conflict ending a bit earlier than it would otherwise. So that was sort of the main finding of that. It's all disputed.
More questions? If you have more questions, stop the debate and prepare a little rest for the lunch. Thank you.